Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, and welcome to the Morning Briefing here on CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets every day. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer, and today, well, we have a lot to talk about today. The Invictus Games are taking place in Toronto, and our Amanda Macias is there. She's going to join us live via phone to fill us in on how everything's been going, the general feel of the event, and whether or not she's gotten to hang out with Prince Harry. My money is on yes, because, well, she's a delightful human being, so why wouldn't he want to hang out with her? Then, we're going to be joined by the American Legion, as we are every Wednesday. Today, Alex Zhang is going to speak to Jake about a fairly dark subject, but one that each and every one of us is going to have to deal with at some point or another, hopefully later rather than sooner. Cemetery and funeral benefits are available to veterans, and the Legion has the info you need to know before you need those benefits. Later, we'll speak with the president and CEO of Medals of America, Lee Foster. Now, I'm familiar with Medals of America because when I decided to make a shadow box for my medals and all that stuff, I looked around for where I could get what I needed, and Medals of America was where I ended up going. But they're about more than just medals, as you'll find out when Lee joins us later in the show. So, a very busy show on the way today, and I want to welcome two of our other members of the Connecting Vet staff into the studio, Army veteran Jake Hughes and my fellow Navy veteran Jonathan Kopanger. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we today?
Good.
Doing good.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. My dog has been having some stomach issues, apparently. 15 minutes after I left the home, I got a text from the babysitter. My wife's out of town, so I have no idea what I'm going to come home to today, but I've got a feeling it's not going to be pleasant.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, no, it's the opposite of nice. So
days like this, you remember why you have a dog.
Yeah. Well, coming up in 10 minutes or so, we're going to speak to Amanda Macias, Mac, as we know her here at Connecting Vets. She's out at the Invictus Games in Toronto, Canada. Down Mexico way.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. So she's up in Toronto checking all that out, and that's fantastic stuff, and I look forward to hearing what she's been able to see and take part in there and view, and yeah, it's going to be great talking to her about that. Of course, you can go to ConnectingVets.com for our continuing coverage from on the scene at the Invictus Games. But before we get to anything else, I'd like to kick off today's show by talking about a young Army officer, Jake.
Oh, wow. I bet this guy is a fantastic leader that I would love to be under the command of.
Yeah. Well, I can't speak to his leadership abilities, but I can speak to his social media abilities. We're speaking about a young lieutenant in the United States Army, a West Point graduate who, based on the pictures I've seen on Twitter, appears to be prior enlisted because he has a combat infantryman badge along with several medals that you typically don't have before you go to West Point unless you served on the enlisted side. His name is Spencer Rapone, and why are we saying the name of some random young infantry officer? Well, along with those uniform pictures that show that combat infantryman badge, which he earned, of course, it also shows that a few other things are going on with his uniform. One of them, and this looks like it was at West Point graduation, he opens up his, I don't know, what do you call the jacket they wear at West Point?
I honestly don't know.
They call it a special
jacket thingy.
West Point jacket thingy. That's the official gear name for it.
Well, what do they call it at Annapolis? I bet you don't know.
A jacket thingy. I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's opening up his cadet jacket there at West Point, and underneath it, a T-shirt. Now, not standard issue T-shirt. Now, in the military, you wear a T-shirt under most of your uniforms and has to be a specific color, has to be a specific type. You're not wearing a deep V-neck underneath your uniform in the military. Under this one, he decided to wear a Che Guevara T-shirt. So that's interesting. Even more interesting, also in the same uniform, he's got his cover, the hat that they wear there, the officer's cover at West Point, and written inside of it is "Communism will win." And in that picture where he's holding it up to display that, he's giving the power salute, the fist up in the air. Now, those are interesting, and I noticed those. So as looking through his Twitter account, which is public, and he's made himself public, so that's why he's being talked about like this. His Twitter handle is Punk Proletarian. Oh, wow. Aren't you fancy?
Oh, my God.
That just says it all right there.
With the name Commie Bebop. So he's a full-blown communist. He's an openly admitting member of a communist and socialist organization. And one of the things he tweeted out appears to be from a book of some sort. And let me read to you what this infantry officer tasked with leading our young men and women in the United States Army.
Spill it.
Posted. So from whatever book this is, I'm sorry I'm not up on my communist manifestos these days. Quote, "Every successful revolution requires either the neutralization or active participation of military people. It's really time to factor that into our thinking. It's time we thought about organizing within the military. And organizing is not helping out a handful of conscientious objectors, though that is important, or dropping into Fayetteville with anti-war petitions for GIs to sign. Organizing is getting to know them, listening to them, building relationships with them, and standing alongside them when they confront their own institution." Now, that sounds to me, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong here, like an infantry officer who is, or would be, if he's posting that quote, encouraging his young soldiers to disobey orders, his young soldiers to fight against what the Army is trying to do. Am I wrong with that assumption?
I mean, it sounds like he's trying to incite revolution.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Which sounds to me like a violation of some part of the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
It's one of those things
where, you know, well, where's in the UCMJ? I don't know the whole thing.
Well,
I don't know.
I can tell you that officers are not allowed to voice political opinions. Mm-hmm. No one in the military is while they're in uniform. I knew a, and I didn't know her very well, but I knew a Navy journalist who at the time, and this was during the Don't Ask, Don't Tell period, went on a gay pride march in New York City, I believe it was, in uniform, and then spoke to my alma mater, 1010 Winds, on the radio saying who she was in uniform, and her belief was that you can't do that. That ended up leading to her separation from the Navy, I believe. This young officer, there's a lot of people not happy about this, and there is some steam growing behind this story because, first off, I thought you were supposed to be, rather good with history after graduating from West Point. Communism will win. Huh. Well, let's look at the places where communism has been in place. We've got the Soviet Union, which on his profile page on Twitter, you'll notice the Soviet flag with the hammer and sickle. I mean, nothing bad happened over there under communism.
No. Never. No. Joseph Stalin was a stand-up guy.
Yeah. So he stood up and stepped over the millions of bodies that he left on the ground. He's a pretty horrifying historical character when you start looking into it. All of those Russian officials who were erased from photos in the original Photoshop, as it were, in the Soviet Union.
Gone.
After Stalin had them removed, that was their fault because they weren't good communists.
Yes, absolutely.
So the Soviet Union failed there. Everywhere in Eastern Europe, failed there. China's got this weird hybrid thing where they brought capitalism, the evil capitalism, into their political system, and that has allowed them to kind of thrive and succeed on an economic level. North Korea, okay, I guess technically they're still around. Mm-hmm. So, maybe this young officer, were he to be removed from the United States Army, he could go check out enlisting with the DPRK's Army and see how things work out for him over there. This is it's a fascinating story, and it's fascinating to me that some people believe that they can get away with this. Although in this guy's case, this has already come out, right? This is in the news.
Yeah.
We know about it. We're talking about it live on our broadcast right here. He hasn't made his Twitter account private. He hasn't deleted any tweets. Looks to me like he kind of knows what's coming down the road, and I'm going to guess that he's pretty fine with it, because this doesn't seem to be someone who is happy to be a member of the United States military. He also posted, and I'm paraphrasing here because I can't find the specific one, but I saw it quoted in a few stories where he said essentially that senior NCOs, life military members, other people like that, they lust for war. They fetishize war. And he can tell you that because he's an 11 Bravo, now an 11 Alpha. Jake, what's the difference between 11 Bravo and 11 Alpha?
I don't know. 11 Alpha is an officer.
So 11 Bravo is infantry enlisted, 11 Alpha is officer. So there you go. So he was obviously enlisted infantry and now an infantry officer. My question is, did no one at West Point catch on to what this guy was thinking and saying? Did he not include it in any of his papers that he wrote there? Or did they just not think that there was anything they could do about it, as long as, I mean, you're allowed to have your own beliefs, but if your beliefs are, in essence, anti-American, that's
while
kind of a problem.
Serving in the military.
I'm about to go call Max.
We're going to have Max on the phone.
I just want to say, this guy is an infantry officer in an infantry platoon. I got 10 bucks on the fact that he's probably going to fall down some stairs.
No, I don't think they're going to do that. I mean, this is especially because this is, one, you don't do that. You don't take things into your own hands physically. But this is also, it's a very public thing now. So if anything happens to this guy, there's going to be a lot of questions about that. Why did this actually come to the forefront, Jonathan? Well, it's interesting. He is posted a few times over the last few days under the hashtag Veterans for Kaepernick.
Oh.
So he's taking a knee. So he is behind.
Wait. Okay.
Colin Kaepernick is the NFL player.
Yes. But so is this guy supporting him?
Yes.
Okay. So that's fine. Freedom of speech.
Yeah.
But I don't understand where what he's talking about has anything to do with what Kaepernick is doing.
It's separate. These are separate posts, but on the same Twitter account.
Got it,
so
got it.
The Veterans for Kaepernick hashtag, it allows you to search that. And I would think what happened is someone saw that hashtag, started searching through it, and saw this guy's posts and were like, whoa, hey. So, he's in an interesting story, and it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens with him. And obviously someone who has some serious issues with the military dating back quite a ways, who served in the infantry as an enlisted man and then chose to go officer and posted that thing about essentially inciting revolution within the armed forces. It would seem that he had a plan in mind, at least in my eyes.
I just hear my mom's voice saying, this is something she told me many years ago, baby, sometimes you just need to shut your mouth.
Lieutenant Spencer Rapone has not done so, and we'll keep an eye on that story. We'll have more to come on ConnectingVets.com on this today. Right now, though, we are going to move to something not quite as infuriating and much more uplifting, that being the Invictus Games 2017, which are taking place out in Toronto. And our own Mac, Amanda Macias, is out there. She's been reporting on the events and joins us live now on the Morning Briefing. Mac, how are you doing today?
Hi, Eric.
You sound like you are wide awake and having a good time. So tell us, overall, what has the general feel of the Invictus Games been like since you got out there?
You know, I think the most rewarding part is just being able to see so many different nations come here, to represent their wounded service members. I mean, the entire town is stamped black and gold with Invictus. There's competitors walking around all through downtown and all the venues. So it's just really cool to see the city interact with. I don't think the city of Toronto has ever seen this many wounded veterans competing in so many different events.
It's really been amazing to see, and it's something that has grown, and of course has grown with the assistance of one of those royals. Of course, Prince Harry, member of the British royal family, also a veteran of the British Armed Forces. I believe he was a helicopter pilot, although he could be confusing he and his brother, but he's been out there and involved. So one, have you been able to hang out with Prince Harry? And two, what has his involvement been out there in Toronto?
He is so hands-on. You know, he's like popping into events and, you know, he's not sitting in VIP seats. He's right in the middle of friends and families who are sitting in the stands. So at this point, I've kind of gotten the gist of how he appears. You just see like a slew of police just standing around. And then all of a sudden you see them like completely disappear because they're escorting him in. But yeah, no, I mean, he's been courtside, popping into fans' zones, and then he's also, like, on backstage. He's presented awards. I mean, he's completely, genuinely compassionate about this, and it shows because he made an appearance at all of the events yesterday, plus a reception, plus a conference earlier in the morning. So, yeah, he's got his hands all over this.
And he's been heavily...
I guess the one thing...
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I guess the one thing that... that did sort of happen that's not necessarily sports related, but he's been dating an American actress for over a year, and they made their first debut as a couple for the long-awaited photo op at wheelchair tennis. But really, really easy. They just slid in, sat courtside, spoke to everyone around them, met athletes, and then they, you know, it wasn't a complete showstopper, but just enough for everyone to get a picture, and then they... And then that's the only sighting that there's been of her during the games.
Well, as I interrupted you so rudely, that's actually what I was going to talk about, because I'm one of those people where I don't care who anyone is dating. Unfortunately, in past radio jobs, I've had to know who was dating who and had to read Us Weekly and things like that. But when I thought about this, my first reaction was, who cares who Prince Harry is dating? Then my second reaction, because I'm a little slow on the uptake sometimes, was, Oh, you know why he announced this? Because a lot of people do care about it, and it's going to be at the Invictus Games, which is going to bring even more attention to this thing that he cares so deeply about. So, well played, Prince Harry. That's what I would say. And also, Mac, I notice you ignored the part about whether you've hung out with him. I'm going to take that as a yes, and you're good friends, and you're going to have him in here on the morning briefing with us coming up here shortly. Now, what about the competition there? Because the Invictus Games, a celebration of our warriors, our wounded warriors, but as well, a competition. What has the competition been like, and what kind of impression has it made on you?
Oh, it's just, I mean, it's incredible to see. I think, so last night was indoor rowing, and it was really hard to believe that it was day four of the games and 9 o'clock at night, because everyone in the arena was screaming. I mean, it was completely deafening. So indoor rowing is cool. And of course it's modified for amputees. I mean, but that's just, I mean, there is like triple amputees rowing. So the like amount of strength and power that these competitors have, I've never seen before. You know, no one's defeated, which is the coolest part of this. Team America is cleaning up at the Invictus Games, I would say. Last year, the most decorated competitor was an American Marine. And she's back again, and she's already got five medals.
Wow.
So she's got 5 gold medals, you know, and she still has more events to compete. She still has swimming today. You have golf, rowing, wheelchair tennis, sitting volleyball, cycling, powerlifting. I mean, just the spectrum. And these competitors are doing 3 or 4 of them. And on top of that, doing all their practice sessions. So, yeah, they're busy this week.
It would appear so. And we're speaking with Amanda Macias, a.k.a. Mac of the Connecting Vets team, who's out at the Invictus Games 2017 in Toronto. Now, Mac, you know, there have been, of course, many nations that have been involved in the recent conflicts alongside of us, many of which are partaking in these games. As you said, the USA team cleaning up, and we like to see that. But what have you seen as far as the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the sisterhood between the athletes from different nations at the games?
Yeah, you know, what's really nice is that, you know, after they finish an event, they stand by the sidelines or the finish line and wait for each other. So if you you can see track, you see like an American like bolt down and then she finishes and her Jordanian competitor hasn't quite finished yet. She's waiting right there for them. And that is just reciprocal at all of the events. You know, there's tons of flags. They're exchanging flags. They're exchanging T-shirts that say Invictus in whatever country they participated in with their counterparts. So that's really cool. You have Afghanistan, Jordan, you know, Italy, Germany, Albania, Romania was crazy last night with their fans. So I think that's really interesting because, you know, not only are they all service members, but they were all wounded, whether physically or psychologically, and you really see that come through more than I'm from this country and I'm playing this sport,
which is really the important
that's
thing
really nice. Right, exactly.
So
it's really powerful. And this is the largest Invictus that he's done so far of the three.
Which brings me to my next question. How many are involved in this and how many events in total are there? I mean, it sounds like not quite Olympic level, but it sounds like there's quite a lot going on over there.
So much logistics. So basically, there's 550 competitors. There's 17 nations involved, and they're playing 12 different sports. And the sports in Toronto are spread out all over. So archery is somewhere downtown. You know, golf is at the super prestigious country club that's like 45 minutes away. So, I mean, each competitor, when they travel on these buses, they're also getting police escorts to and from. So media, friends, family, and athletes. So the city of Toronto, in order to host such a thing, I know they had the Olympics, you know, not too far away from here, but basically all the logistics of getting all of these people, because you have to keep in mind that there's wheelchairs involved and that type of thing, and it's a big city, so it's tough to get around. But, I mean, it's been so great to see all of this really thought out. But, I mean, 500 people playing, you know, 12 different sports in different locations in a foreign country, it's been pretty wild to see.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you, because, of course, we are Connecting Vets, CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com, Connecting Vets every day. So, of course, we were going to be out there. But what other sort of media coverage has there been for this event that you've seen out there?
For Invictus? What's in the press room, anyway, I've noticed, you know, Department of Defense is here. But also the defense attachés for Germany. So, like, Germany's, you know, representatives are here.
Right.
They've been speckled within the press room. And then, you know, everyone's following these stories where someone's had, you know, was in Afghanistan, an IED went off, lost both their legs, played golf all their life, and now what do? And then you come home. So to see those stories mirrored in different languages in different countries, you know, and to see their representative press covering, like, oh, you know, we actually all have quite a bit in common. So that's been really nice to see that it's not solely, because the U.S. leads in adaptive sports with our, like, Warrior Games and that type of thing. But to see that there's other nations being involved in Invictus who have very similar storylines to the competitors that we know, if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. I'm glad to see that there is significant media coverage of it and on an international level, because, you know, you worry about things where there's tons of media coverage for a Kardashian announcing that they might be having a child, but for these wounded warriors going out and showing the things that they can do, sometimes things like that might slip through the cracks when it comes to the media. So it's good to hear that there is a lot of coverage out there. And when we talk about that coverage, Mac, what do you think is the biggest story so far, aside from, of course, Prince Harry and whoever the lady is that he's dating? When it comes to the games themselves, what do you think the headline that comes out of the Invictus Games is going to be?
You know, I think this Marine from the U.S. is going to clean up again in Invictus Games. She still has a couple more events to go through, but she's on her way with 5, and last year's record was 7. So she doesn't look like she's stopping. I saw her last night at indoor rowing, and she placed silver. So she's going to keep going. And so I think that would be cool, again, to see, like, decorated veteran does it again. Everyone knows her name around the competition floor, and she's the most sweetest woman. I mean, just so easy to talk to and just so cheerful. And, you know, people have commented, like, oh, well, you know, for your circumstances and your position. And she's just like, nope, happy as can be. And I mean, complete beast mode when she competes as well. So I think that would be cool if she were able to do another record. But yeah, I mean, stay tuned. We still got 3 more days left.
three more big days out at the Invictus Games 2017 in Toronto. And Mac, don't forget, while she may be a sweet person and a wonderful person, she's also a Marine, so she could probably kill you with her bare hands. So you've got to keep that in mind. That's where that beast mode in the competition comes out. So I know I know you're enjoying the covering the competition out there. Really quickly before we go, what's on tap for today and what can people look forward to from you on ConnectingBets.com?
Yep. So coming up today, I spoke with a triple amputee out of Florida. It's his first time at the games, and he's doing golf, which is also the very first time they've ever done golf at Invictus.
Wow.
And he is a triple amputee. So, yep. Spoke to him yesterday, did very well with his match. And he's got really cool bit of equipment there to help him play golf.
A lot of great stories out there, and amazing when you think of someone, a triple amputee. We spoke recently to a quadruple amputee who plays golf. Our Wounded Warriors still doing amazing things, and they're doing them at the Invictus Game. And Amanda Macias, a.k.a. Mac from ConnectingVets.com, has got the coverage for you out there. And we want to thank her so much for joining us on the Morning Briefing today. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes with Alex Zhang from the American Legion. And don't forget to visit ConnectingVets.com. You'll be able to see Mac's coverage that she's already done on the Invictus Games and everything that she has in the coming days. You're listening to The Morning Briefing. Back after this.
As a military veteran, you know there are things you and fellow vets understand and feel that others may not get.
That's where CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com comes in. Connecting Vets Every Day, a nationwide digital portal connecting military veterans to the information and advice we need to thrive.
Live daily briefings.
Informative and fun.
And all sorts of podcasts by veterans for veterans.
Sponsored by Freedom Mortgage and Harley Davidson.
Welcome back to the Morning Briefing here on CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets Every Day. Already a fantastic show, and it's just going to get better from here, as it does every day at ConnectingVets.com, the website where you can check out the latest and greatest stories on everything that affects the veteran community, created by veterans for veterans, because each and every one of us here is either a veteran ourselves, like myself and Jake. I did 13 years in the Navy, Jake 13 years in the Army. We also have military spouses, military brats. We got the whole enchilada here of the veteran experience, and we're putting it on that website in the best way, the only way to stay up to date of what's going on that website. Follow us on social media. We are at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. A simple click of the mouse or a tap on the screen will make your life that much better and keep you that much more informed. You know, during those 13 years in the Navy, I was able to accumulate a number of awards, a number of medals, all that stuff from, you know, the Good Conduct Medal and the Pistol and Rifle Marksmanship Medals, all the way up to some of those higher ones as well. And after I got out, I decided that I wanted to do my own shadow box. I decided I wanted to have something to display those medals that I earned, because you know what? I am proud of them. A lot of people say, like, oh, yeah, what, were you proud of your medals? Yeah. Yeah, I am, actually. Over 13 years, did a lot of things, a lot of good things, and most of those ended up resulting in something like a medal or a ribbon, and that's kind of how we keep track of those, and I wanted something like that in my house to remind me of it. When I was looking for places to get what I needed for that shadow box, I came to a site called Medals of America. Now, this may sound like some sort of paid advertisement, but I assure you, they're not paying me. They just had everything that I needed, and it was kind of a one-stop shop for everything I needed to do for that. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what they're doing over at Medals of America. And joining us right now is Lee Foster behind Medals of America. Lee, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing really great today.
So as I mentioned, Medals of America, obviously from the title, people can probably assume correctly that there are medals available at Medals of America, but it's so much more than that. But before we talk about the site, I want to talk a little bit about you. Lee, are you a veteran yourself?
I am. I spent 15 years in the Army, both on active duty and in the National Guard.
And during those 15 years, first off, when did you serve and what did you do while you were in?
A little bit non-traditional. I dropped out of high school when I was 17 years old and enlisted. That was back in 1988. And after a few years of being a private, decided that might not have been my best choice and was fortunate enough to go to the Citadel, which is a military school down in Charleston.
Right.
And there I was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the infantry and spent another 10 years in the infantry and finally got out as a captain.
Wow. So you you have the enlisted experience as well as the officer experience. 15 years served. Now, if you think back to when you finished up that time, when you're the infantry officer after now 15 years of total service getting out, what do you remember most about that time, about that transition from Lee Foster the soldier to Lee Foster the veteran?
The most thing was I really didn't have a plan. I just, it was time to move on to doing something else, and I got out, and I probably spent the first year just kind of wandering around, figuring out what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, or at least for the next 2-3 years even. Just took a little while to transition.
You know, I went through the same experience where I kind of had my plan was to not have a plan for a little while, then eventually went to school. So when you did finally figure out what you wanted to do, what was the path that you got on, and was there anything that helped you get started in that direction?
Well, I was very fortunate, and I came to work at Metals of America, and it's a family company. My mother started it 40 years ago, and my father joined it when he got out of the Army because I grew up in a military household. My dad did 23 years, so I was used to moving all around the world. You know, it was just suddenly you got into something, and I finally had a challenge again. You know, had people working for us. How do you make this company grow? How do you take care of people? And got the real joy, and I found that I really liked helping out all the veterans, guys I had served with, guys that had served with for me, served after me, and I'm still in touch with that community. That's what really drew me to it more than anything else, getting to work with all the same people that I'd served with.
And of course, you were working with them at Medals of America. I gave a brief description of how Medals of America was a place that I went to for something that I needed. But if you were to describe Medals of America and what exactly it is that you all are doing over there to someone who has no idea about Medals of America, how would you do that?
Wow, that's a good one there. At the heart, we are an insignia company. We're a licensed manufacturer from the Institute of Heraldry, so we can produce all the military awards. And really, probably our flagship item, flagship project that we get to do is when we get to build shadow boxes for the vets. And a lot of times, what makes it unique is you served, it was 20 years ago that you were in the service, or you're doing a shadow box for your father or your uncle, and you don't know exactly what you need to do, but you can call in with us, talk to all of our guys, our 20-year vets, and they can hold your hand through it and make sure everything's done correctly, make sure you don't forget anything. So at the end of the day, I think the biggest thing we do is that service where we can work with people. You know, we're a service company more than anything else. We like to provide special service to all the people out there and really help it make it a special moment when we put this all together and bring back all those memories. You know, we also, like many people, we make T-shirts and we make ball caps, and we're licensed from all the branches of the military. So we can put an Army logo on it, or we can put airborne wings on it, or we can put, you know, Navy Chief Petty Officer rank on something, because we have the licenses from all the services to manufacture all sorts of product that bring back the memories of your service.
Having served in the Navy for 13 years, I can tell you Chief Petty Officers like putting that Chief Petty Officer insignia on just about anything. So I think you guys can make a killing just from targeting the Chief Petty Officer community, because literally, I don't think there is anything that they will not add the Chief Petty Officer foul tanker to.
They're proud of it, but like anybody else, you put that much effort into it. But think about one of the unique things we do for Navy vets. You served on a ship. You'd like a hat with that ship on it. Well, we custom make those so you can have, you know, it has a silhouette, the name of the ship, its designator, and you can have that made on a hat, and you can order it on a Tuesday. We'll manufacture it that evening, and it's out the door on a Wednesday.
Wow. That's pretty good and pretty quick service right there. And you guys do so much when it comes to, again, you know, people who are able to provide you with the documentation. You're able to work with them on a shadow box and figure out, again, if it's for someone that, you know, didn't serve, if it's someone that is getting it done for someone who didn't serve, you're able to help them out there. And of course, veterans themselves are able to interact directly with you guys. You know, an interesting question that I thought of to talk to you about today, Lee, was the fact that Stolen Valor has been an issue in the military community, you know, where a lot of people have been pretending to be something that they're not. Oftentimes just throwing on kind of random military decorations where you'll look at them and say, oh, you were a Green Beret and a Navy SEAL and Marine Recon and all of these other things. That's pretty interesting. When it comes to essentially running a company that deals in medals, ribbons, things like that, what position have you guys taken on that? And is there anything that you've found that I imagine it would be nearly impossible to stop people from purchasing things from you? But are there any steps that you guys have been able to take to try and prevent those people who try to present themselves as something they're not?
We do. Stolen valor is a big part of our industry. And we worked years ago when the law was written before it was struck down, and help crafting that. We felt so passionate about it. So when someone calls in, mails in, goes online, and places their order, you know, the first thing we do is, if they're ordering any Valor Awards, you know, Silver Star, Bronze Star with V, these, at that point, we have to have, you know, definitive authorization of it. We need a copy of your DD-214. Or in many places, there's many websites we can go to that list the recipients of these medals. So we have to see that that is correct. We had one the other day. The gentleman is ordering a shadow box, has a Distinguished Service Cross in it, the second highest Army award. And our customer service rep, our military award specialist, says, sir, your name's not on the list. Huh. You know, you didn't earn this. And he goes, oh, it's not mine. It's I'm doing the shadow box for my father. Well, what's his name? Boom. There's his father's name on the list.
Right.
You know, gentleman's trying to do that. So, you know, we don't want to put up huge barriers. You can't do it. We don't feel there's anything wrong. You want to do a shadow box for your father. You know, it's not your service, but we do. We look out for it. Most guys, 90%, just want the awards they earned. Sometimes they make a mistake because, like I said, it's 20 or 40 or 50 years ago that they served.
Right.
And then we help guide them in the right place. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't make sense, if it looks fake, and if the guy can't validate it, we just say no. We don't need to take that order. All of our military award service specialists that you talk to or deal with these products, they're all 20-year vets. You know, our attitude is, if you're not legit, we don't need you.
Right.
And just policing it that way, being open and honest with people, we found we don't have a problem. Like I said, when they have an award, they have a Valor Award, let's have a copy of your DD-214. Everybody has a copy of their DD-214.
Yep. It's as easy
as
that.
That's how we handle it.
And having veterans on staff. Now, what percentage of the Medals of America workforce are veterans, Lee? I mean, you yourself, and we're speaking with Lee Foster, who runs things over there at Medals of America, family business, been running since 1976, providing various engravings, embroidered things. They are licensed by the branches of the military, as well as, of course, as you would guess from the title, medals and ribbons and all of those things, shadow boxes. But how much of your company is veterans that are on staff, and how important is it to have them on staff?
Well, right now, 62% of our employees are veterans as of last week. I mean, I just saw the numbers come through. And for us, it's a huge important one in the military award specialists, the ones that are going to deal with the customers, getting their medals and ribbons done, like Marine Corps Ball be coming up for us now. It's super important. When they call in, they're talking to somebody, it's a very passionate subject, and they're talking to a guy who all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, we've served in the same location.
Huh.
Maybe we served on the same unit. Do we have that instant connection? And they can trust us to know what we're doing. So all of our military award specialists, all of our frontline guys that you're going to talk to are 100% veterans. As we work through the business, we have them in every different location, from our t-shirt designer, who's currently serving in the Air Force Reserve, to web staff people that were Navy corpsmen. And then in the back room, in the warehouse operation, we're here in Greenville, South Carolina, and we have a policy. You're a vet, you just got out, you need a job, we'll get you a job. You know, it might not be the best job in the world, but we'll get you a job, we'll keep you busy while you can continue to look for something better or go to school. So a lot of our warehouse and fulfillment personnel are also vets, and they might come in for us for 6 months, 2 years, they finish up school, they can move on to better opportunities, but at least during that time, they're at a place they can work. But more importantly, when you're especially these young vets coming out, they're working side by side with other guys just like them.
Right.
So it's comfortable. They fit in. when they come in our door. That's what they all say to me. Wow, I fit in here. So it's a good transition place.
And I imagine that's also beneficial. As you said, everyone who's checking out those applications for people looking to buy Valor Awards or veterans themselves, and we tend to have a pretty good nonsense meter. I mean, the civilians are going to look at these people dressed up in their stolen Valor costumes and not necessarily be able to tell why it's wrong. But for a veteran, it's often almost immediate that you'll see something that just doesn't make sense in there. So does that benefit you as well, having veterans on staff who are able to help out with that?
Oh, it's incredible. They sniff out the BS faster than anybody else. All these guys are ex-NCOs. You know, you're talking about Navy chiefs yesterday. There's three Navy chiefs in there. They can smell it a mile away. And they've got no problem, how do we say, aggressively addressing it and aggressively addressing the individual. They go back into military mode very quickly.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to get a Navy chief to get back like they're standing there in the khakis with the coffee cup at quarters in the morning. They have an innate ability to turn that switch on and off when they need to, even after they get out. We're speaking with Lee Foster. Lee is an Army veteran, served both on the enlisted and officer sides, getting out after 15 years as an infantry officer when he left. Now, Lee, a question for you on exactly who is using Medals of America. And I ask that because, you know, I see a lot of Vietnam vets who seem to, you know, love the Vietnam veteran ball cap these days. That number seems to be growing, actually, as time goes on, that they seem to be more and more proud and willing to show and talk about their service. Are the younger veterans also taking part in that, you know, in the Afghanistan, Iraq veteran ball cap or T-shirt thing? Or have you seen any growth or any movement in who's using the site as far as the younger age group?
We are. We're starting to see a lot of the Iraq and Afghan guys start to come into it. They're a little bit different. You know, they're younger. We are doing shadow boxes for many of them, more of a private moment for them. We're also, that their taste is entirely different than what we're doing with like, the Vietnam veteran. They still downplay their service a little bit more. They're almost, they don't want to seem boastful or showing off.
Right.
It's a very quiet pride we see with these guys. The difference from the older veterans, you know, their problem is their children or their grandchildren are coming up to them going, you know, Dad, what did you do?
Mm.
And those are the questions they get. Or what did grandfather do? As I always tell everybody, you know, I knew the stories of my grandfather's service in World War II, but my son, you know, he's never met the man. He never understood that. So when I put a shadow box on the wall with all my grandfather's awards from World War II, then my son asked questions, you know, oh, what was that for? I said, well, that was for service in Europe. He was in the Army before the war broke out. This is from service in France. And, you know, it began that dialogue so he could understand the history and the service of his family. And so, you know, that's really the difference. Where are you in life? Are you have grandchildren or are you just starting a family? So it kind of drives a little bit of what your desires are differently, we see.
Right. And that makes total sense. Now, in the, what is it, almost 40 years, I guess, or no, over 40 years now that Medals of America has been in existence since 1976, the company has grown and I'm sure it's changed and adapted. What are some of the newest additions to the Medals of America catalog and what you guys are doing over there?
Well, we just installed some really fun equipment. They're called direct-to-garment printers. DTG printer. So it allows us to print one t-shirt. So come the first of the year, we're going to be launching our new website. You could go on the website, drag and drop the artwork, build yourself a custom t-shirt. You want your unit patch in the upper left. You want the dates of service across the chest, however you want to design it, using all the licensed artwork from the military. You can design one out. You like the way it looks on the screen. You press the button. We print it the next day, and we'll ship it to you. So you can have a custom shirt that showcases your service or what way you want to do it. So that's going to be something very new for us that we're excited about.
Wow, that does sound pretty cool. Now, when looking at, and it's such a wide variety of products that you have, I mean, if people go to the website, it's medalsofamerica.com, medals, t-shirts, challenge coins, decals, and car accessories, custom dog tags. Is there any item over the years, Lee, that you've been surprised at how popular it was? What's the most surprising item that you guys have had that's been popular?
Well, I think it's going to be something we did very recently. About 2 years ago, we designed it. You were in the Navy, but all the Army guys will absolutely remember when I say poncho liner. It's a nylon blanket, the best thing, that was meant to be sewn inside or tied inside your poncho to make a little sleeping bag. But we all carried the poncho liner, or called it a whoobie. We made one with sleeves on it, much like the Snuggie. So it became the Snuggie Whoobie. And, you know, it was just, we might have consumed a few beverages when we came up with this idea. And we made these things, and we made a little video of it. And the next thing you know, there go 4,000 out the door in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Now it's a race to make more. And it just, it connected with everybody. The Marines carried them. The Army guys carried them. Poncho liners, our little whoobie. And the thought of one with sleeves, one, it was funny. And two, it actually works. And so that's probably the most surprising item we've ever come out with that really hit with people.
Wow, that is pretty fascinating. And hey, those Snuggies, for all the things that people say about the Snuggie's pretty darn comfortable. That's why it's been as popular as it has been. So interesting that you guys were able to put that out there and get that done for people. And yeah, kind of surprising that it was successful, though I don't know if I'm shocked now that I hear about it. At first, it sounds surprising, but the more you think about it, you're like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Lee, as you've talked about, Medals of America is a family business. Your parents involved in it, and you came to it later on. For veterans who are, you know, looking to start their own business, looking to get involved in a veteran-owned business, what's the biggest piece of advice that you feel you could offer to that person who's, you know, maybe finishing up their time as an infantry officer like you or as a sailor like me? What's the big advice that Lee Foster would have for getting involved in something like you've gotten involved in?
I would say, you know, it's don't be scared of the unknown. You know, don't say, I don't know how to do that. You know, if you said that when you were in the military, I don't know how to do it, people are going to look at you and go, learn. You know, you overcame, you learned so much, you were able to handle any situation thrown at you. Don't be afraid of it being different. Just say yes, what you don't know, teach yourself, learn, find somebody who knows what to do, but don't be, it's a different world. But remember, the world you just came out of, you learned how to adapt to anything that was thrown at you, be it 3 a.m, all of a sudden you're tasked with something you've never done before, you figured it out, you made a plan, you executed. Same thing in civilian world.
Now, if people are interested in finding out more about Medals of America, or if there's any veterans who are you know, wanting to contact you guys to get some info about what you're doing or any jobs you might have or things like that, where can people go to find out everything they need to know about Medals of America?
You know, if you just need want to see information, what's going on, what's going around the building, best thing to do is just go to our Facebook page, which is, you know, Medals of America on Facebook. That's got a lot of information. You can also just check out the website. We have the bio, the history of a lot of people there, how we got to where we, you know, what's our story, how we started in a closet, ended up where we are today. And then follow us on Instagram. We're learning to have a lot more fun with that and talk more about the company and the veterans that work for us versus just product.
You know, and that's an interesting point where your company is, you know, 41 years old at this point, starting in 76, and things have changed so drastically. How much has the business model changed, and how has Medals of America managed to stay successful when so many other companies doing kind of similar things to you have gone by the wayside?
Over the years, it's been a radical change. When we first started, you know, we were a purely catalog company. We printed a 3-page catalog that grew into, you know, what we do now, which is we do close to 10 million catalogs a year. So, you know, we print a catalog, we mailed a catalog. Well, now, then it was, you needed a website. Great. Now you need to get into e-commerce, and you had to go into email marketing. Now it's mobile. We're having to re-platform and redesign our whole website to support where we're seeing the future is. You want to order it on your phone. Not just order it, you want to interact with the product, you want to interact with the company, but on your phone. That's been the biggest change we've had to deal with.
Right. And you guys have apparently done quite a good job, because Medals of America, again, when I hear people talk about where they've gone, particularly for their shadow box needs, as well as, like you said, if you served in the Navy, a lot of people who are on ships love the ball cap of their ship. The two I was on, I didn't care for them all that much, so I don't need those ball caps. But there are a lot of people out there who do love having those things. And I keep hearing Medals of America as, you know, a great destination to check out for those things. And again, their website, medalsofamerica.com. And we've been speaking with Lee Foster of Medals of America, family-owned and veteran-run business with 62% of their staff being veterans. So Lee, one, we want to thank you for doing what you've done for the veteran community and making sure that you know, there's some good jobs at Medals of America, as well as the efforts of your site to combat the stolen valor issue and everything else that Medals of America has been doing. And thanks so much for getting me the stuff that I ordered from you like 7 years ago. I appreciate it.
Well, it's our pleasure to do that, and we really are enjoying this new veteran community world we're living in, where we've got, you know, folks like you that are getting voices out, people that are working for the vets out there today. And like I said, we've known it forever, but we still love doing this.
And it's clear when you go to Medals of America, you will see that love on display, as well as everything else that they have on display. I mean, just clicking through, I'm looking at the Navy patches, and they have, well, if you're a CB, they got one for you. The Riverines in Vietnam, U.S. Naval Aviation, everything from, you know, back in the day up to present day. They have so many wonderful things available there. It's just kind of a cool site to browse around, even if it's stuff that, you know, you might not want initially. You might find something there, maybe a license plate holder or a decal. Put one of those on the back of your car. There's a lot of options available, and they're all available right there at medalsofamerica.com. And we want to thank Lee Foster for joining us on the show today. I want to thank the rest of our special guests too. Alex Zhang of the American Legion, Amanda Mac Macias calling in from out at the Invictus Games in Toronto. Remember, connectingvets.com, and follow us on social media at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to be kept up to date on the latest and greatest from the Invictus Games and everywhere else in the veteran world. We're halfway through the week, man. Wednesday, yeah, hump day. Tomorrow's Thursday, another great day, and we'll be right here on the Morning Briefing with another fantastic show. Have a great day. Until then, we'll see you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.